Good evening. How's everyone? Doing well. If you're shopping with your parents, or if you do your grocery shopping yourself, you probably know the store brands. Western Family, No Name, President Choice, Kirtland Signatures, you know. They usually sit right next to the big name national brands, and almost always, they cost less. And you, if you're like most people, just like me, you probably think had that thought before, right? They are cheaper and lower quality. Hey, you get what you pay for, right? That's what the labels make us think. But here's what I learned from working in an industry. I'm telling you the secret. That assumption is not always true. In fact, many private label products are held to a higher standard. Take Kirtland Signature, for example. The standard is aim to match or do better than the national brand. President Choice removed artificial additives from thousands of products before name brands even consider it. And even No Name, with the plain yellow package, carries a guarantee. Not happy? Return it. No question asked. Let me tell you, the label does not always tell the full story. Now, you know, I didn't come here to give you a lecture on grocery shopping. No, not at all. I come to talk to you about something much closer home. I want you to sit with this one question. If we can be this wrong about a jar of pasta sauce that judging it entirely by what's on the label, how wrong might we be about people? Because that's what we do. We see the label, we notice the past, based on our experience, we make up our minds and we call someone, you are unreliable. You are difficult. You are lazy. To be honest, sometimes we even go a step further. We call someone a lost cause. Here's the thing though, you know, labels not always the truth. And sometimes they just keep us from seeing what really is there. And that's why we are starting a series called The Lost Cause. The big idea that will carry us through the next 4 weeks is this. Jesus specialize in the people everyone else has given up on. He doesn't read the labels the way we do. He knows exactly what's inside. And tonight, in Luke chapter 7, we're going to watch Jesus walk into a room full of people who thought they had everything figured out, and Jesus turned the entire labeling system upside down. So if you have the Bible, turn with me. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees, which is Simon, asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee house. Now, that sounds innocent enough, a dinner invitation, but this is not as warm or as welcoming as you think. Here's what really happened. Pharisee, if you know, would often invite visiting rabbis, not to honor them, but to put them under microscope, to look for something to criticize. In fact, in Luke chapter 6, just one chapter earlier, the scribe and the Pharisee were already watching Jesus closely to looking for a reason to accuse him. And here, Simon the Pharisee wanted to see it for himself, so his invitation is more of a trap than a welcome. But Jesus, you know him, right? He will walk in anyways. Verse 37. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that she was reclining, which Jesus reclining at a table in the Pharisee house, bought an alabaster flask of ointment. Look, let me paint this picture for you because it's so easy to miss just how explosive this moment was. In that culture, when someone was publicly known as a sinner, everyone in town knows exactly what's that all about. You know, this woman was almost certainly a prostitute. She wasn't just somebody, you know, makes some kind of mistakes. No, she was that sinful woman, the one your mothers would warn their sons about. Her label was not just a description. It was her entire identity. And if you notice, she doesn't even have a name in the story. No name. She was just a woman of the city who was a sinner. That's all she gets. The label was her name. Now, wealthy Pharisee hosts banquets with doors left open so the public could listen to the teaching. But for a woman like her, to walk in a Pharisee house, that alone was shocking. Why? Because she risked being humiliated by some powerful religious people in town, but she went in anyways. Think about it. Perhaps something already happened inside her heart. Somewhere along the way, this woman heard something about Jesus, maybe his teaching or maybe his invitation to a sinner. Whatever it was, it was enough to make her risk everything to see him. So let's pay attention to this scene. The woman came straight to Jesus. She stood behind him and she broke down in tears. She was crying so much that her tears wet Jesus' feet. Then she wiped his feet with her hair and she kissed his feet over and over again. And she poured out the perfume that may have been her entire life saving. Wow, think about that. That was not a quiet or dignified moment, not at all. That was raw, loud, uncomfortable, and the whole room was watching, and the perfume smelled all over the place. It was a mess. And Simon, the Pharisee, the host, saw that every bit of it, you know, and he thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Just want all of you to know, Simon did not say anything out loud, okay? He was just thinking to himself. And from the text, you kind of know what happened, right? Simon believes Jesus is definitely not a prophet, because if he were a real prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is, and he would have pushed her away. And you see, in just a few seconds, very short moment, Simon had his mind set. This woman, sinner. Jesus, not a prophet. And I know exactly what is going on here. To be fair. In Simon's world, this made complete sense because if the word Pharisee really means separated one. Their entire identity was built on boundaries. Clean and unclean, righteous and sinners, us and them. And this woman was a poster child for the wrong label. The labels tells you everything you need to know. So keep her out. Whoa, keep her out. And here's the story takes a turn to nobody in that room expected. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Did you catch that word? Answering. Simon said nothing out loud. He was just thinking to himself. But Jesus answered him. Jesus knows exactly what Simon is thinking, and every word of it, the judgment, the self-righteous, the pride. Hey, Simon, you thought I would never know? Come on, I know. The one who doesn't know what's really going on is Jesus. That's not Jesus, it's Simon. Now, we need to understand what Jesus is saying to Simon. So verse 30, 41. So Jesus tells Simon a story about two debtors. One owned 50 denarii, not a word, about 2 months' wages. The other owned 500, which is over a year and a half wages. Both debts were impossible to repay, and the money lender cancel them all completely. And Jesus asked Simon, hey, which of them will love him more? So Simon says, the one who was forgiven more. And Jesus said, you are absolutely right. And then right in the middle of the party, Jesus turned towards the women at his feet, but kept speaking to Simon. Did you see this woman? That is the question hanging over this entire story. Do you see this woman? Not just her past, not just her sin, not her wrongdoing, not just her label. Do you actually see the person here, right here in front of you? Do you see it? And Jesus continued in verse 44. I enter your house, you give me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Whew, this is a hard comparison. In that culture, hospitality was sacred. Water for dusty feet was a basic courtesy. A kiss on the cheek was a standard greetings. And you know, a drop of olive oil on the head was a sign of honor. And Simon gave Jesus none of these. He was not forgetful. Come on. That was a deliberate snob. Simon invited Jesus into his home, but barely acknowledge him. Think about that. But this woman, she had no water, but she gave Jesus her tears. She had no kisses of greeting. She kisses Jesus at his feet. She had no oil, but she gave Jesus the most precious ornament she owned. Jesus is making a comparison of Simon and the woman that nobody in that room could ever ignore. Think about that. Verse 47, and Jesus says, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, just want to be clear. That doesn't mean that she earned forgiveness by loving much. It means her love reveals that forgiveness had already penetrated and touched her heart. Love is just the evidence. Grace came first. Not that you clean yourself up and then come. Not that you prove yourself, then you will be accepted. Not that you fix your life, then God will love you. No, just come to God as you are. Then Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith have saved you. Go in peace. Jesus doesn't just forgive her sin privately. She says it publicly in front of everyone who have been labeled her, judged her, and written her off. In front of them, Jesus declared, she is clean, she is free, she is whole, and that's restoration. Church, that is what Jesus does to the lost cause, where every one of them have been written, that guy or that girl off. Jesus is not interested in preserving labels. Jesus is interested in restoring people. And that's why this story matters so much, because in that room, there are two really different ways of dealing with a lost cause. The Simon's way and the Jesus way. The Simon way is a way of religious fairness. It sounds like reasonable and perfectly logical. It goes something like this. First, God delights in people who follow the rules. Fair? He's angry with people who break them. God is just and fair. And second, once a sinner, always a sinner. People like that don't really change, right? They clean up for a while, and then they go right back to who they are. And good people should keep their distance from the wrong crowd, draw a clean line, and make sure the mess stays on the other side. That was the Pharisees' entire operating system. Draw a circle in a nutshell, stay inside, keep the mud out, and let the labels do the talking. And honestly, it sounds like common sense. It makes sense, right? But the problem is, Jesus does not operate that way. Think about the woman again. She doesn't clean herself up first, right? She didn't get her life together first. No, she didn't earn the right to be in that room even. No, she just came, broken, crying, and Jesus received her. Jesus forgave her. Jesus restored her, and Jesus sent her out in peace. And that is the Jesus way, dealing with a lost cause. Not earn your way back, religion, you know. Grace first and always. Church, you know, that changes everything. That changes everything about how we see people. Because if grace can reach that sinful woman, then there should be no one beyond its reach. Now, here is where the story gets personal. Because really, really, the story is a tale of two sinners. The woman, she was a sinner. She knew it. She came to Jesus with nothing but her tears. But she left in peace. She came in as a label, but she left as a person. She came in as a lost cause, but then she left restored. But Simon, he was also a sinner. He was. The difference is he didn't know it, or he refused to see it. And so he sat at the very same table with Jesus, same table, but walked away completely unchanged. Two sinners, same room, same Jesus, different outcomes. Two sinners, same room, same Jesus, different outcomes. This story is extremely important to us because, really, there are two different kinds of lost cause. And Jesus is speaking to both of them in this room tonight. I know some of you deep down, you know that Jesus is speaking to you as Simon tonight. You come to church, you serve, right? You're doing the right things and you feel pretty good about that, no doubt. But here's the danger. You can be near Jesus and still miss him. You can know the scripture and still not operate in grace. You know pride can just be destructive and it can make you just as lost as immoral sins. And that's why Jesus' question cuts so deep. Do you see the woman? Until we start seeing people the way Jesus sees them, we are still living by labels, not by the truth. Some people are rough because life has been rough on them. Some people are defensive because they have been hurt before. Some people are quiet because they are ashamed. Church, get this. Jesus always sees deeper. He sees future disciples, future worshiper, future servants, future leaders. Jesus always sees deeper. Future disciple, future worshiper, future servants, future leaders. And Jesus sees what grace can make them become. So never, never call someone a lost cause when Jesus is still chasing after them. Maybe tonight, some of you may feel differently. You feel like you are the woman without a name. You have been labeled by your family, by your society, or maybe by yourself even. You have been overlooked so many times, and you have started believing that the label is true. Jesus is speaking to you tonight. Look at the woman. Again, no way out, no name, just labels, sinner. There's no hope. The whole town had given up on her. But Jesus says, your sin are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Can this happen to you too? That same Jesus is in this room tonight. And he sees you, not your label, you. I want to be very, very honest with you. I'm not giving you a 10-step plan for you to work on. No. I'm not telling you to try harder. No, because you have been trying very hard already. The way out is not inside of you. It has to be come from outside. You need to be rescued. The only and only Jesus can do that. And he's the good news. The good news is he is not far away. He is right here tonight, and he's not bordering by your path. He is specialized in restoring everyone else has been given up on. This is our God, Jesus Christ, the Lord. I want to end tonight with a real story, really real one. And it has two sides. One person put a label on someone else, and the other accepted a label on himself because Jesus came for both. Years ago, a group of young guys, you know, start showing up at our fellowships. They were all dressed in black. And most of the time, they stay on the sideline watching. But, you know, during worship, this one guy, he called himself the young brother. In Chinese, that means like the lowly junior apprentice, the lowest of the low. You know, was one of the few who would actually participate. Whenever someone invited them to join activities, they would send this guy as the messenger. And he would say something like this. We have something important to discuss, and we will join you next time. And every time, same answer, every time, same answer. To be honest, I am not impressed. I hate him. I don't like him. But, you know, this in my mind, I suspect that there must be something, you know, they come in just for the wrong reason. Making troubles, maybe the bad influence. And I did not like them at all. Yes, I'm sorry. I made my assumptions. I judge from the outside. But hey, it's too obvious. I just cannot help. They are a lost cause, for sure. They must have coming in with bad intention. I know it. I honestly wish them they won't come back again. I'm sorry to say it, yes. I was a Simon in the room. But here's what happened. Weeks after weeks, they simply just showed up and did not make any trouble at all. And the people in the fellowship, those who did not write them off like I did, the good guys, keep reaching out, including them, loving them. And you know what happened? The gospel which is far more powerful than we can imagine, got through. The gangster, as I jokingly call them, become the disciple of Jesus, all of them. I thought I knew. I labeled them. I did not see them the way Jesus see them, and I was wrong. Now this one little guy, right? I especially remember that young brother. What I didn't know at that time was that he was carrying the way of being the one nobody would believe in his whole life. His life was difficult. His parents were not there for him and his brother. He has to work just to survive at an age where most kids are worrying about his homework. Have you ever heard of fried rice with sugar? He's eating that. School did not go the way it should have. He failed so many times in school, in relationships, in trying to get clean. And that's why he would call himself the young brother, lowly junior apprentice, the lowest of them all. By the time he came to church, he had been carrying the same kind of label that the woman in Luke chapter 7 carried. And eventually, he started believing it about himself. He was not just a lost cause in my eyes at that time. He was a lost cause in his own eyes as well. But then one night, after a local revival, he came and find me. He was completely broken. He said to me, "Haynes, there was a fire in me that I couldn't shake. A burning desire to do more for Christ. And he wanted to go all in with Jesus." So we talk and we pray for a long time that night in my house. And it was just so happened. That same season, 20 years ago, Joyce and I had just decided to plant a church in Greater Vancouver. So I share my vision, my heart, my calling. He was full of tears, but there was also something firm in his eyes. He knew God was calling him. So I invite him to join us in building Koinonia to be the salt and light in the world, in this city. To be honest, it was not a smooth ride. He struggled very, very hard. In those first few years, old habits, old pattern, he would do well for a while and then fall again. But little by little, I witnessed the Word of God do what only the Word of God can do. God begins to transform him slowly but deeply. He became faithful. He served. He grew. He became one of the leaders at Koinonia. He got married. He got kids. And today, this man is pouring his life into next generation, becoming the spiritual father he never had growing up. Lost cause? Really? Two labels. The labels I put on him, he was a lost cause. The label he put on himself, that is all I will ever be. Both wrong. I thought I knew this type. I was wrong. He thought he knew his own verdict. He was wrong. And Jesus took both labels off. Church. Jesus is not interested in preserving labels. He is interested in restoring people. So tonight, the invitation is very simple. If you have been identifying yourself as a lost cause, Jesus is saying, come, come to me. If you have been looking at others as lost cause, Jesus is saying, look again. If you have been living like a Simon, Jesus is saying, let me open your eyes. If you have been living like the woman, Jesus is saying, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Yes, the world may say, too far gone. But Jesus says, no, come close. Your past may say unclean, but Jesus says forgiven. Your fear may say it's nothing can change, but Jesus says what is impossible with man is always possible with God. So come to Him, trust Him, worship Him, and believe that your story is not over yet. Church, it's not over yet. So let's all stand. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we come to you now with honesty. Forgive us for the times we have looked like Simon, judging people instead of loving them. Forgive us the time we have believed lies that we are too far gone. We turn to you now with our tears, our hunger, our shame, and our needs. Speak your words over us again. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Fill this room, Lord, with your presence. Restore the identity. Break hopelessness. Raise up sons and daughters. And let this house become a place where no one is written off, because Jesus is still safe. In Jesus' name, amen.